This is the show that goes like this with Ben Simmons.
Broadcasting to Brentwood, Billericay and the world, this is Phoenix FM.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say,
like the legend of the Phoenix.
He's the reason why.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Mr. Bombastic.
They said,
oh, what a night.
Well, a very warm welcome once again to everybody. Thanks to Georgia for another fabulous drive time show, getting everyone home safely and keeping them entertained. But it's me now, Ben Simmons, with a very special edition of the show that goes like this. Every episode is exciting. This episode is particularly exciting for me. Why on earth is that? Well, it's a particular date I've been waiting to coincide with my live show ever since I've worked here on Phoenix FM. I've been here for 4 years, and if you listen to the show regularly, you'll know that I like to celebrate weird and wacky holidays that occur on the day of the broadcast, and today has some worthy holidays and some bizarre ones as well. On this date, it is Anti-Bullying Day, it's Bird Day, it's International Firefighters Day, it's, weirdly, Respect for Chickens Day, it's National Teacher Day, National Orange Juice Day, World Asthma Day, and Weather Observers Day. But, more importantly, may the 4th be with you. Yes, I'm sure you knew. Just in case you didn't, it's Star Wars Day today. Just going to let this play through, because let's be honest, it's awesome. Have you done anything special to celebrate Star Wars Day today? I am wearing Mandalorian socks today. That is true. I've always absolutely loved everything to do with Star Wars. We can all see that yellow text with the outer space background. The opening crawl. There we go. Let's just think about that for a moment. Fabulous. Yes, in case you didn't know, it's the 4th of May. People like to say, may the 4th be with you. It is Star Wars Day today. How exciting. Because in amongst regular features and great tracks that you know you're going to hear by tuning in to the show that goes like this, I'm going to share with you some very, very interesting slash amazing Star Wars facts. And we will have an entirely non-Star Wars related Bic Lol in around about an hour's time as well. The tense quiz that is gripping the nation. Or certainly parts of Essex and other areas in the UK. Ben's Impossible Questions League of Legends will be back just around about 7 o'clock tonight. I do have to tell you all about the Chocolate Bar World Cup, but all of the tracks you're going to hear in tonight's show do link to the wonderful world of Star Wars in some way or another. How fabulous if you're a Star Wars fan, if you're a sci-fi fan. But if you're not, the music, you know, it's not all Star Wars theme tunes. Oh no, it's clever links from the listening leg ends that have found ways of getting popular tracks to link to the Star Wars movies and TV shows in some way or another. Because you guys are so brilliantly intelligent and hilarious, then, you know, you don't have to be a Star Wars fan to listen to this show. If you are, you'll probably enjoy it slightly more. If you're not, you'll still enjoy it. So stay here, don't go anywhere. 98.0 on your FM dial. If you're listening online, phoenixfm.com. If you have a smart speaker, ask it to play Phoenix FM. Spread the word about the show. Spread the word about this station. We are a fabulous station, ever expanding and always wonderful. Well, I'm going to stop talking momentarily. We need some kind of Star Wars related track to get us in musically to the next couple of hours. And, you know, it's not one of those that initially grabs you as something associated with Star Wars. Well, a lot of them are going to be like this, and some of them are very tenuous links, which I'm impressed about. But let's get a spaceman on. Let's get Babylon Zoo on. Starts weird, goes funky, ends up a bit weird again. Lead singer is called Jazz Man.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
that was Babylon Zoo there. In case you've joined us late, yes, it's a Star Wars edition of the show that goes like this. On the 4th of May, may the 4th be with you and all that gubbins. Original Star Wars, now known as Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, was released in 1977. I was born in 1977. I'm not ashamed to say that. I've always had that link with Star Wars. I've always felt extra special with regards to the Star Wars franchise. People have talked about it for years and years. It's mentioned all over the world in all kinds of fan service everywhere. Spawned so many films, TV shows, ranges of toys and whatever. And I've always thought it was utterly marvellous. So at least musically, we're celebrating all things Star Wars for the next couple of hours. But also, I've got some wacky Star Wars facts for you as well. I am one who likes to share a fact on the show that goes like this, and happy to do particular Star Wars related facts. So don't go anywhere, keep it right here. And remember, if you want to see what's actually going on in the studio, near enough live, then you can join us on the Mixcloud webcam feed. So you can go to mixcloud.com and search for Phoenix FM. You'll see our logo and you can see it linked to me on there. Many of you have done so already. Hello, as ever, to Paul Milton, who I know joins the Mixcloud feed. So hello, Paul. Good to see you again. And thanks for getting in touch, as ever. And to everybody that's made track suggestions for tonight's show on social media throughout today. Very, very appreciative of that as well. Well done. Some of them very amusingly tenuous. And I'll share those with the listening legends as we progress. Let's get another one on then. Another track suggested by you. Babylon Zoo and Spaceman was suggested by Nick Ashton. If you have a moment, I recommend, if you're on social media, check out Nick Ashton. It's fairly self-explanatory how to spell his name. Nick Ashton, he's a fabulous artist and he's created some brilliant Star Wars artwork, which he has put out there on the 4th of May because it's very appropriate and great work. I did share it to my profile earlier in promoting the show, but I recommend having a look at that. And all the stuff Nick Ashton does is fabulous as well. Friend of the show, but yeah, well worth checking that out. But he suggested Babylon Zoo and Spaceman. Happy to get it on for you, see. That's what happens. You make a great suggestion. It gets on the airwaves. You feel that little bit of extra smugness. Maybe not smugness, because that implies sort of arrogance with it as well. But you're kind of just pleased with yourself. A little bit extra. After hearing it, after getting a mention on the airwaves, isn't it marvellous? Well, here's one that was suggested by Stuart James in much the same way, although I don't know if he's created any Star Wars artwork. But anyway, he suggested this on behalf of all the women in the Star Wars universe. Here is Jamiroquai. She was from another town.
Phoenix FM.
Almost got thrown by the end of Cosmic Girl there. I was enjoying it so much I didn't even acknowledge the fact it was coming to an end. You may be able to hear a little bit of interference. I think that's Star Wars Gremlins, although that's clearly another franchise. But could be tropospheric conditions causing interference with the transmitter. That's what I've heard before. Anyway, yeah, hope your May the 4th is treating you very well. We've had some bizarre weather today, where I am, in the Brentwood area. It was quite sunny this morning. A little bit windy yesterday, wasn't it? Gusting, definitely. I think maybe saying a little bit is understating it somewhat. But yesterday was windy. I woke up today, thought, oh, it's quite sunny. Then it chucked it down a little bit. Then we had hailstones. Now, very sunny again outside the studios in Brentwood. So who knows what the heck is going on weather-wise. Hopefully for you, it's relatively nice wherever you are. Now then, as promised, shall we start sharing some fabulously interesting Star Wars facts for all you Star Wars nuts out there, if you're like me. I found out whilst researching some of these for the show tonight, things that I didn't even know about Star Wars, and I do know quite a lot about it. Have to say, before I get into these facts, if you haven't seen The Mandalorian, couldn't recommend it any more. I'm pretty sure any big Star Wars fans will have watched it. If you're on the fence, though, it's well worth it. As soon as you start watching the first series, it feels like George Lucas's Star Wars. And that's because of the influence of the showrunners of Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. And Dave Filoni, kind of student of George Lucas. And it all comes together, and you understand why if you've seen anything behind the scenes of the making of The Mandalorian. It makes sense. But for those people who are a little bit disappointed with the Disney sequels, although they're great films, whether they sort of ultimately do damage to the legacy of Star Wars, who knows? It's not really for anyone to say, is it? They're just good films and they keep the story going in some way. But The Mandalorian, absolutely brilliant. First series, great enough. Introduced us to some interesting new characters. Second series, the end of the second series of The Mandalorian. Well, I know when it was released, there was furore all over the internet, people going crazy for it, saying it caused such an emotional reaction in them. Absolutely true. I never imagined that at the age I'd reached that any kind of Star Wars TV or movie or viewing experience could make me emotional again and make me feel like I was 8, 9, 10 years old again. That's what the end of The Mandalorian Season 2 did. Couldn't recommend it anymore. Fabulous. Who knows what they're going to do with Season 3, but let's hope the future of Star Wars is in safe hands. Right, some Star Wars interesting facts. Well, according to the book The Making of Star Wars by J.W. Rinsler, George Lucas originally planned for Yoda to be played by an adorable monkey wearing a mask and carrying a cane. Can you imagine that? Before they settled on a puppet, they were like, can we get a monkey to wear a mask and hold a stick and be Yoda? Surely that was asking for too much trouble. You can see why that actually got thrown out the window. I'm not advocating throwing monkeys out of a window. Oh, no. What else? Well, we all know and love the little furry creatures on Endor as Ewoks, but the word Ewok was never spoken in the original trilogy. No character ever says the word Ewok, although the species is identified in the closing credits. So there you go. That's quite interesting. And then, in case you weren't aware, surely most Star Wars fans will be aware, but the words "I have a bad feeling about this" are spoken in every Star Wars movie. Now, here's something quite dark. I did not know this until I did the research for this for tonight's show. Return of the Jedi almost had a very different ending. In a story development session for Return of the Jedi, they genuinely toyed with the idea of Luke defeating Darth Vader in the lightsaber fight. Obviously, Vader throws the Emperor down the shaft, explosion, whatever. Victory for the good side. And then Luke removes Darth Vader's dying Darth Vader's helmet, obviously, later. He asks if he can look on him with his own eyes. And they genuinely toyed with the idea of him taking off his father's helmet and putting it on himself and proclaiming, "Now I am Vader," and turning to the dark side. Now, Empire Strikes Back had a negative sort of ending with the bad guys having the upper hand. Can you imagine if the following film had finished like that? Everyone would have been, oh my God. That would have been a heck of another twist down a totally different path. Could have been quite good. With hindsight, I think a lot of people would kind of like that ending and see what transpired in the future. Anyway, while we all come to terms with those facts that have been revealed on the show that goes like this, let's have a light-hearted track that loosely links to the world of Star Wars. What do you do if you're a farm boy on Tatooine, hoping for a brighter future and wanting to leave your family in the desert and get away from it all? Well, you want to reach for the stars, don't you? I'm not even slightly sorry.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And this is the show that goes like this, Star Wars special. How exciting. May the 4th be with you. all you fabulous Star Wars fans out there. Ellie from Beckles has sent in some interesting things about Star Wars that she's happy to share, which is fabulous. What was Yoda's age when he died? Apparently around 900 years old. Yeah, absolutely. He does say in the dialogue in Return of the Jedi, when he's about to become at one with the Force, to Luke, he says, "When 900 years old you reach, look as good you'll not." So, yeah, he's admitting to being 900. There we go. I liked that. And many people aren't certain about why Darth Vader died. Well, it has been said that whilst Vader was throwing the Emperor down the shaft, the Emperor was using Force lightning on Luke, but then he obviously put it on Vader to try and save himself, although he couldn't. So it was the Emperor's Force lightning on an already weakened Vader that caused him to die before Luke takes his mask off. And nearly, according to that plot development story, nearly put it back on himself. That would have been crazy. Speaking of crazy facts about Star Wars, apparently NSYNC nearly had a cameo in the film Attack of the Clones. That would have been weird, wouldn't it? Apparently it was at the request of George Lucas's daughter. But they did appear, they did film things, but they were edited out of the final cut. And despite, I mentioned The Mandalorian before the last track, despite developments in that with Baby Yoda, now known as Grogu, Yoda's species and Grogu's species has never been determined in the world of Star Wars, so maybe we will find out in due course. I think there was another one of that species called Yaddle as well that has appeared in the expanded universe, so to speak. What else can we share about the world of Star Wars? Well, apparently George Lucas admired Stanley Kubrick, and he hired many people who also worked on 2001 A Space Odyssey when he filmed the original Star Wars A New Hope. So a lot of the crew were involved in 2001 A Space Odyssey. There we go. Here's a great fact. I did hear that part of Stormtrooper's original uniform were those kind of Chelsea boots that were around at the time, late 70s and 80s, obviously covered in white and whatever. I love hearing about props and things like that. Apparently, Qui-Gon Jinn, Liam Neeson's character in The Phantom Menace, used a Gillette razor for his communicator. Yes, in episode one, the personal communicator used by Qui-Gon Jinn is actually made from a resin cast of a Gillette Ladies Sensor Excel razor. Now that is brilliant. I love stuff like that. You know, all the things. It wasn't like The Phantom Menace was made in the 70s and there wasn't much budget around and they weren't sure of the success of the film or anything like that. You know, it was pretty much guaranteed to make hundreds of millions at the box office. What can we use for that? I know. Yes. A Gillette Ladies Sensor Excel razor. Now, this may cause some controversy, but clearly the sci-fi universe has always had some element of competition between Star Wars and Star Trek. And Trekkies and Star Wars fans often against each other. A bit of healthy banter online, I guess, and at comic cons and things like that. But musically, I'm happy to embrace the world of Star Trek momentarily. So here, from The Firm in the 80s, is Star Trekkin'.
Life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it. It's Captain.
Yeah, Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow.
Star Trekking across the universe.
On the Starship Enterprise, under Captain Kirk.
Star Trekking across the universe.
Only going forward, still can't find the
person that he's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead.
It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Starboard bow. Starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Starboard bow, Jim.
Starship Captain James T.
Ah, we come in peace. Shoot to kill. Shoot to kill. Shoot to kill. We come in peace. Shoot to kill. Shoot to kill, man.
It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead.
Well, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it, Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Starboard bow. Starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Scrape them off, Jim.
Star Trekking across the universe.
On the Starship Enterprise.
Star Trekking across the universe.
Only going forward and things are getting worse.
General, it's just that.
You cannot change the laws of physics.
Laws of physics.
Laws of physics.
Can it change the laws of physics?
Laws of physics, Jim.
Oh, we come in peace. Shoot to kill. Shoot to kill. Shoot to kill. We come in peace. Shoot to kill. Scotty, beam me up.
It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead.
Well, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it, Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Starboard bow. Starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Starboard bow.
You cannot change the script, Jim. I'll see you, Jimmy.
It's worse than that.
Bridge to engine room, warp factor 9.
Oh, if I give it any more, she'll blow up!
Phoenix FM.
Always loved that track, Star Trekking by The Firm from the mid-80s. Now then, here's something for you. I'm going to do it early on in the show. We're about 25 minutes away from Bic Lol, which is not going to be Star Wars related, because as you know, it relates to the competitor in some way or another. Ben's Impossible Question League of Legends will be back at around about 7 o'clock. Before that, though, I think it's time to squeeze in a special Star Wars edition of Celebrity Birthdays. Not quite what you think. Let's see what happens. Well, what I've done is trawled the Star Wars universe and found out the birthdays of many of the main actors and actresses in the Star Wars films. And therefore, I'm going to share those with you. So we're not listing celebrities whose birthdays occur on the 4th of May. These are Star Wars celebrities and when their birthdays actually are. Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, 25th of September. Harrison Ford, Han Solo, 13th of July. Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, was born on the 21st of October. Anthony Daniels, C-3PO, was born on the 21st of February. Daisy Ridley, Rey, was born on the 10th of April. John Boyega Finn was born on the 17th of March. Oscar Isaac Poe Dameron was born on the 9th of March. Adam Driver, Kylo Ren, 19th of November. Dave Prowse, Darth Vader, 1st of July. Hayden Christensen, Anakin Skywalker, and subsequently Darth Vader, 19th of April. Liam Neeson, Qui-Gon Jinn, 7th of June. Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi, 31st of March. Natalie Portman, Padme Amidala, 9th of June. Excitingly for everyone, though, George Lucas, just 10 days away from Star Wars Day, 14th of May. Now, here's a challenge for you, lovely listening legends, and Neil Reynolds has already answered this online to some extent, but I think other people may be able to do better. I know you've got access to exhaustive research possibilities while I'm broadcasting, and therefore I would like to know who, concerned with the world of Star Wars, whether it's the current series like The Mandalorian, like The Bad Batch, which is releasing today, or Star Wars Rebels, the animated series, The Clone Wars, the animated series, any of the films, anything to do with anything, if there is any performer in any of those that has a birthday actually on Star Wars Day, I would love to know about it. Or can someone find me a performer whose birthday is the closest to Star Wars Day, closer than George Lucas? You may need to trawl Google, IMDb, various other places online. Can anyone find me this information? So far, George Lucas is 10 days away from Star Wars Day. There must be someone who has worked on a Star Wars film whose birthday occurs on Star Wars Day, because that would be fabulous. And yes, they may be a bit part actor, someone that wasn't really in the forefront of many scenes, but I want to know about it. So if anyone is willing to do that exhaustive research, please let me know. I have put that on my Facebook profile. I will share it to my radio page on Facebook as well. Tonight's Star Wars Challenge. Remember, Bic Lol coming up at 7, and also more news on the Chocolate Bar World Cup after that as well in the second hour of the show. Keep it here, loads of great tracks for your ears to enjoy. And now some slightly more tenuous links to the world of Star Wars. Here's one that came in from Paul Milton earlier this afternoon. It's ABBA, it's Super Trooper. I see what you've done there, Paul. Well done.
Super Trooper, beams are gonna blind me, but I won't feel blue like I always do, 'cause somewhere in the crowd there's
the super beams are gonna blind me, but
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
That was ABBA and Super Trooper, obviously, because of the fabulous link discovered by Paul Milton, who suggested Stormtroopers were big in Star Wars. Let's play Super Trooper. Now, already, Alex Kaffert-Zoglu has risen to the challenge of finding me a performer with a birthday closer to Star Wars Day than George Lucas. Fans of The Mandalorian will know it stars Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano, who was cartoonized in the Clone Wars series and also in Star Wars Rebels cartoon. But in real life, Rosario Dawson has played her in The Mandalorian. Her birthday is the 9th of May, just 5 days away from Star Wars Day. So any advance on Rosario Dawson? We've got George Lucas on the 14th of May. Neil Reynolds also shared Peter Mayhew, who played the original Chewbacca, was born on the 19th of May. I've just found out Christopher Lee, who was Count Dooku, was born on the 27th of May. But still, can't get closer than Rosario Dawson at the moment on the 9th of May. Remember, they don't have to be a major actor. You know, if you can find someone who was, you know, credited, at least credited on a Star Wars film, you know, someone you might remember their name. Can anybody do better than Rosario Dawson on the 9th of May? That is your challenge throughout the rest of the show. Utterly fabulous. Well, I can't believe we're already 15 minutes away from Bicklaw. I'm going to play the jingle just to get myself in the mood.
Not true. That's impossible.
Someone will be on the phone in around about 15 minutes' time, doing their best to deal with the tension of another Ben's Impossible Question, League of Legends. How exciting. What about some more interesting Star Wars facts? We heard about unusual props a little while ago. Well, again, major Star Wars fans will know this, but in case you didn't, there is a scene in The Phantom Menace where we see the world of politics in Coruscant in Star Wars. And lots of different senators from all over the galaxy come together. And clearly George Lucas was a big friend of Steven Spielberg. If you look very closely, when they're calling for a vote of no confidence in the current Chancellor, you can see members of E.T.'s species in one of the little pods. So, yeah, E.T. kind of stars in The Phantom Menace, so to speak. And speaking of speaking, the language of the Ewoks is a combination of Tibetan and Nepalese. There you go. And this could have been a very different film. Acclaimed film director David Lynch passed up the opportunity when George Lucas asked him to direct Return of the Jedi. There we go. David Lynch's Return of the Jedi could have been a bit different. Yes. And I like stuff like this. The sound of a TIE fighter engine actually comes from an elephant. It's created by combining an elephant's bellow and a car driving on wet pavement. And speaking of interesting sound effects and how they arrived at final things, Chewbacca's voice is an eclectic mix of other animals. Chewbacca's sounds is a mixture of bears, walruses, lions and badgers. There we go. One final sound effect fact for you. The lightsaber noise that iconic, I guess, noise comes from the familiar hum of an old television. Combining the hum of an old television's picture tube and the buzz of a film projector's motor. Always love that noise. Who doesn't? Fabulous. More Star Wars facts coming throughout the rest of the show. May the 4th be with you throughout the whole of the 4th of May today. And here's a track that was suggested. Oh, I should have said, I did say Super Trooper was suggested by Paul Milton. Here's a track that was suggested by Mark Reed here in Brentwood. Fabulous. And it's tenuous, so I like it. It's Oasis. What are you thinking? Wonderwall? Is there some sort of wondrous wall in the world of Star Wars somewhere? Champagne Supernova, maybe? Oh no, don't Luke back in anger. Well done, Mark. That is a tenuous link. I've enjoyed it. Let's enjoy Oasis.
Slip inside the eye of your mind. Don't
is the show that goes like this with Ben Simmons.
With who?
Ben Simmons.
Oh, right.
On Phoenix FM.
Oh, yes. It's the 4th of May. It's Star Wars Day. It's very, very exciting here on the show that goes like this tonight. Loads of Star Wars facts, loads of tracks that link to the world of Star Wars in some way or another. And the Star Wars Challenge has been issued to find a celebrity who features in the Star Wars films, or maybe not even a celebrity, someone who at least is credited in a Star Wars film, who has a birthday closest to Star Wars Day. Alex Kaffert-Zoglu has found that Rosario Dawson's birthday is the 9th of May, just 5 days away from today. I thought I'd beaten him, but I couldn't. I discovered that Donald Gleeson, who played General Hux in the Disney sequels, his birthday is the 12th of May. So not quite good enough. But, you know, I'll keep doing a little bit of research throughout the show. If anyone can beat Rosario Dawson on the 9th of May, find someone whose actual birthday is on Star Wars Day. That'd be incredible. Or at least nearer than the 9th. The challenge has been issued. Go for it. Also, we're just about... Well, one track, let's say that, away from Ben's Impossible Question, League of Legends. Before that, let's have a couple more interesting Star Wars facts. Liam Neeson apparently was too tall for Star Wars. The sets for The Phantom Menace were only as tall as the actors, but nobody accounted for 6'4" Liam Neeson. They had to rebuild all the door frames for Qui-Gon Jinn, which cost an extra $150,000. Here's something crazy as well. There are enough shot-for-shot recreations of A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back made entirely by fans to recreate the whole film. So, people have made videos of each scene in A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. Obviously, lots of different people have done lots of different scenes, but there are enough that have been made that you could recreate the entirety of each of those movies. That is incredible. While we all come to terms with that, let's have another track, and then we all know what's coming after 7 o'clock. Everyone's getting excited about it. Now, this next track was suggested by Eddie Bushell. He knows what it's like to take part in Ben's Impossible Question League of Legends, and he's currently, let me check, in fourth place on the league table. Not bad, not bad at all. How will tonight's competitor do? We'll find out very shortly after this. Eddie Bushell suggested, in honour of Star Wars and Daisy Ridley's character, this Madonna track, Ray of Light. I see exactly what you've done there. Well done, sir.
Phoenix FM.
Well, that was Madonna and Ray of Light. It's just gone 7 o'clock, so you know what's coming now.
It's not true. That's impossible.
It's time for another Bic Lol, and on the phone line is tonight's competitor. It's the wonderful Adam Jenkins.
Hello. Hello, Phoenix FM.
Hello, dear Adam Jenkins. How the devil are you?
I've been really good about this till the jingle, and now I feel like I'm on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Well, a lot of people have commented on the tense background music during the questions, actually making them tense, which is kind of the whole point of it. But, yeah, and the jingle as well. Quite appropriate that the jingle is Star Wars related, which was entirely unintentional that it would happen on Star Wars Day ever, you know. So
that's once a year that you can claim that you tried to do something clever.
Yeah, exactly. And we did just speak about this off air, but I feel we ought to mention it on air. You're not really a big Star Wars fan at all, are you?
Brilliant. The minute I said this to you off air as well, I thought he's now going to bring this on. No, that is true. I know nothing about Star Wars whatsoever.
Right.
I literally can't talk about it anymore because I know nothing.
Well, you know the composer, John Williams. Well, I don't mean you know him, John Williams, but you knew his name.
I knew his name. It did take me 5 seconds to remember his name, John Williams. But, I mean, he's every film, isn't he? His music's amazing.
Are you a particular sort of sci-fi fan? Are you more Star Trek than Star Wars, or do you just not like those kind of films, really?
I'm not really. I mean, the most sci-fi, I think, I really got into The Matrix.
The
second one.
Yeah.
But the story about that, when I watched the second one, I was in Sweden, and I watched it with subtitles, and after about 3 minutes, my eyes couldn't go quick enough to keep up with the story. And then the third one was even worse, and that was in English.
Well, it's
but that's probably about as far as my
fair enough. It's weird with The Matrix, because it's kind of universally accepted that they kind of muffed it a bit with the second and third films. If they'd have never made the second or third film, it would have been regarded as an all-time classic, I think, because the first film...
I agree with you. The first one was brilliant.
And
then they just stretched out a story that absolutely didn't need to be stretched.
Yeah, and as soon as they did that bit of this has happened 9 times before and this is the same thing, you're doing it all again and I'm the architect and blah blah blah, and you're like, sorry, what? I don't understand.
I didn't make it that far. As I say, I got 4 minutes in Swedish and I was like, I can't do this.
That's a unique cinematic experience of watching a film in Sweden.
I know, and I feel bad because that I basically based the whole film on 4 minutes of Swedish.
Yeah,
where I couldn't read the subtitles. It's probably better than I think it is, but it was about 20 years ago, and I haven't given it another chance.
I've got that ridiculous film prejudice where whenever a film comes on, if it's got subtitles, I'm like, I'm not going to like this.
I'm out. Yeah.
So, it's a bit bad, because I'm sure there's some classics that are subtitled that I've missed out, but, you know, I can't help it. It's likewise if there's a film in black and white as well, I'm like, no, can't really be bothered with it.
So, I think with the subtitles, it's like, well, you might as well read a book. You can't read the words and watch the film. So
yeah, good point. Good point. Now, before we get into the nitty-gritty of the quiz, I'd like to share with the listeners as well that we first ever met each other during pantomime.
We did
a lot of pantomimes together in Derby, and
Now
we've spoken about this instance many times. People need to understand we kind of got on quite well as soon as we met each other and would get into bantering with each other, bantering with other members of the cast. And there's a brilliant story that involves a guy who, when we met him, he was the guitarist in the company, but he's gone on to become quite a successful musician, musical director, quite well respected.
He's blagged his way through the industry, yeah.
But there was a brilliant incident that I liken to a criminal mastermind forcing someone to do something against their will, where we hid ourselves in a shopping centre, you phoned him and got him to carry out instructions before you tell him where we were. I think that's one of the best things we've ever done together.
It's one of those stories that whenever you tell someone else, they look at you like you're completely mental. And no one will ever feel that enjoyment that you and I did, hiding on the balcony of a shopping centre in Derby, making a man follow instructions. It was like a mix between Line of Duty and...
Yeah, like 24 or something. Yeah, Jack Bauer in 24.
Yeah.
It was brilliant, because I remember you being on the phone and you being like, we're in H&M, going H&M, and watching him walk in there. He goes, you're not in here.
Even listening to it back, it doesn't sound like anything scary. But I can still feel the excitement I felt that day when I finally asked him to walk to the middle of the shopping centre and touch a bin.
Ah, absolutely brilliant. That was... Right, well...
I wonder if he tells the story as fondly as we do.
But I bet he doesn't, but I would have to get him on the show. I'll have to get him on the show and ask him. That would be a good reunion to have all three of us on the show
at
some point.
I'd love to hear his side of that story.
yeah, that would be good. As the years have gone on, is the pain too much and he can't remember it thoroughly?
I bet his side of the story is, I was trying to meet my mates in the shopping centre and they just kept sending me in here and touching this. I bet it's not nowhere near as funny as our version.
Yeah, exactly. Our version is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Right, speaking of that, well, I guess we've got to get... I could just talk to you for the rest of this show, which would be brilliant, but we've got to do this quiz. So,
serious now.
Yeah, just to recap, in case people are listening, and just to make sure you understand as well, there's three questions. They're all numerical answers. The first question has the highest margin of error, so the answer could be anywhere between 0 and 10,000. The second question, medium margin of error, the answer will be somewhere between 0 and 1,000. And the third question, very small margin of error, the answer's between 0 and 20. So,
okay.
You all right with that?
Absolutely fine. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
No worries. Right, well, I guess it's time for Ben's Impossible Question League of Legends. Let's do it. Right, Adam, question one. I know that for many years you've been working in the cruise industry. What is the maximum number of passengers you can fit on the world's largest cruise ship at the moment?
God. Okay, so I don't work for the company that owns the world's largest cruise ship. So
no, I know you don't, but it's obviously...
It would be better if you give me a ship that I do work on. I'm going to say... biggest ship that we've got holds 6,000 people, so I'm going to say 8,200.
All right, 8,200. Okay, question two. It's a bit complicated, this, so make sure you understand it before you answer. We worked in pantomime together in Derby and also in summer season in Cromer. And if I'm right, you did live near Portsmouth.
Yeah.
So, if I was to drive from my home in Brentwood to Portsmouth, then carry on to Derby, and then carry on to Cromer, how many miles would I have driven? Just to make sure. So, I'm in Essex, I'm in Brentwood, I drive to Portsmouth, then I drive to Derby, then I drive to Cromer. How many miles would I have driven?
Well, your car wouldn't make it the first time. it really is impossible. So there's four legs of the journey there, yeah?
Yeah, so Brentwood to Portsmouth. Well, three legs. Brentwood to Portsmouth, Portsmouth to Derby, Derby to Cromer.
Okay. 465 miles.
Okay. Question number three. We met in pantomime in the 2007 into 2008 Christmas season, working for a company called PHA. How many pantomimes did PHA produce that year?
I can barely remember the one we did. literally, 16,
right. For you, Adam Jenkins, Bic Little is over. I got to say, you coped with that quite well.
It was very stressful.
Was it? A lot of people say that, and I obviously...
I'll tell you why it was stressful.
Yeah, go on.
I know Nick Murphy. Nick Murphy is currently sat on the Legends leaderboard in top spot, isn't he?
Yeah, you're right, yes.
And I would never hear the end of it if I don't come close to him or knock him off. Which is a sentence I never thought I'd say.
Well, that's a good point. I'm glad you've done your research and you know about Nick Murphy doing quite well. Although I have to say, he did fluke one of his answers.
That's Nick Murphy all over, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just doing some maths to work out how well you've done.
Okay.
And right, okay.
It's weird this quiz because you have no, I have no idea if I've done well or not because.
Yeah, well, I've got to say,
if you've got a question wrong, don't you? You go, oh, that's not the right answer, but I generally have no idea.
No, I mean, obviously, there's a chance of getting the third question completely right. Nobody has got any question completely right yet, and you're the ninth person to do this quiz. But one of your questions, you did get very, very close. So we'll find out. Right. Question one, what is the maximum number of passengers that fit on the world's largest cruise ship? It's Royal Caribbean Symphony of the Seas, apparently. It must be quite close to one of yours, then, because apparently the maximum number is 6,680.
Wowza.
You said 8,200, that's 1,520 out, which is respectable.
Okay.
Second question. Ludicrous driving question, really, trying to link together some places that we met and know each other from. If you drove from Brentwood to Portsmouth to Derby and then to Cromer, you would cover 431 miles. You did incredibly well and said 465, just 34 miles out. That was impressive.
Wow.
And then 2007-08 Panto season, we worked for PHA. How many shows did they produce in that year? You said 16. They actually produced 12. So
well, you're better than that.
But that gives you a total of minus 1,558, which I can tell you puts you in a very respectable fourth place on the leaderboard. I mean, you've done very well there. And I think out of all the question twos we've ever had, that's the closest anyone's got in question two.
Do you have a League of Legends for question twos? Can I go to the top of that one?
Maybe I'll have to break it down a bit more.
Maybe I'll be like the question two champion.
Just to give you something to feel more proud about. Yeah,
just
definitely.
So I can go downstairs and say, the reason I didn't put the kids to bed is because I'm the champion of question two.
Yeah. You can say that. There's no way of proving it to anyone else. They listen back to this. But yeah, maybe I need to create some other league tables as well as the main one. But
I think it's worth a thought, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I'm not just trying to make you feel better. I think you've done very respectably well, considering you haven't got a hope of knowing anything, you know.
Yeah, there's no skill to it, really, is there?
I remember our summer seasons in Cromer were quite entertaining. That's a fabulous theatre on the pier in Cromer there, the Pavilion Theatre. And I think it was your birthday in the summer season, wasn't it? And then we stuck some balloons to your dressing room door in a certain shape that was an amusing shape, I remember.
Yes, and once a year you share that picture with me on a social media platform and you still find it as hilarious today.
I really do.
There's that. Those years ago.
Without giving away full details on a family show, I mean, let's be honest, it's using balloons to recreate a rude image. And, there's that slightly childish nature that a lot of people have that comes out at me every year when I send that picture to you again.
That's where time hop really comes into play, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Now, you've been fabulous on the radio here this evening. There is no tangible prize for taking part in Bic Lol, but you do get to introduce the next song. So what happens is I will in a minute hand over to you. I'll tell you what it is first, obviously. And and then you can just introduce the next song and then we'll go into it. That's the only reward you get for all that effort and stress.
Well, it's made it completely worthwhile.
And I should say, you've appeared as a guest on some of the podcasts that I've done with Nick Murphy as well. You were our go-to guest for a while.
I was.
Maybe we need to recreate that at some point again.
That
as well.
Would be good. I mean, that was a long time ago as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was.
Didn't I do season one, season two, season three, and then you moved on with new friends and got all that? Yeah.
So I don't want to put it as brutally as that, but yeah, something like that, yeah.
I'm over it, you can tell.
Yeah. But, thanks for taking part tonight. Thanks for being an utter legend, as you always are.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for having me.
No, it's been brilliant. And the track you get to introduce, I'll explain how it relates to Star Wars once I come back after it. It's The Beatles and 8 Days a Week. So that's
okay.
What you get to introduce. You've got radio experience as well, haven't you? So maybe you'll...
I might have.
be marvellous at this, better than some people at the introduction. Thanks, mate. Thanks for doing it. Much appreciated. And so all it remains for me to do is to hand over to Adam Jenkins to introduce the next track.
You're listening to Phoenix FM, playing the Beatles 8 days a week.
Ooh, I need your love, babe. Guess you know it's true. Hope you need my love, babe. Just like I need you.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Oh yes, and that was another BicLol that's happened, BicLol 9. Really taking hold now. I like to feel it's established. Huge thanks to Adam Jenkins for taking part once again. And as ever, the now traditional 7 o'clock spike in audience numbers has happened again. Down to BicLol, mainly down to previous BicLol competitors wanting to find out what's happened. And Eddie Bushell is upset, nigh outraged at being knocked down a position by Adam Jenkins. Adam Jenkins has gone into fourth place in the BicLol table, which puts Eddie Bushell down into fifth. But sort of mid-table respectability, Eddie, so don't feel too bad about it, you know, I say, anyway. But yeah, as ever, I've got a brilliant meme sent by Eddie Bushell. Well, it's more of an emoji. It's sort of his own bitmoji, isn't it? I think he shared with me at one point. I've created my own bitmoji, all thanks to Eddie Bushell. So, fabulous. Alex Kaffert-Zoglu has excelled himself once again. Before I tell you about that, I did say I ought to explain why we played the Beatles and 8 days a week there on a show that goes like this, Star Wars special. Well, thanks to James Morton. He fabulously suggested that track because it links, it could be called 8 Days at Ewok. Which is very tenuous, but I like it very, very much. Now, Allegiant General Pride in Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker was played by Richard E. Grant. Major actor, not just a bit part actor, you know, he had a smaller part in that film. But thanks to Alex Kaffert-Zoglu's wonderful research, Richard E. Grant's birthday, the 5th of May, tomorrow, just a day away from Star Wars Day. That is impressive, Alex. You've done very, very well. So, you know, there's lots of ways you can win a Legend of the Week award. It doesn't happen quite as often at the moment due to BitLol, but, you know, you are right up there. I think I'm going to have to give one out tonight. And there are lots of people that have done brilliantly tenuous track links that have sent me things throughout the show. There's more than Alex in the running, but, you know, he's got a good chance. That's all I'm going to say. Right, I guess we'll get another track on. Remember, the BitLol league table will be updated. You can see what it is. I've just seen another great post from Eddie Bushell. But you can see the live league table on my blog page on the Phoenix FM website. So if you click on the word schedule and then you click on Tuesday and the show that goes like this, each post of a previous show recording has a link to the BitLol league table on it. So, yeah, great work from Eddie Bushell there. He's now knocked down to fifth place in the BitLol leaderboard, and he's called it Revenge of the Fifth. Nice work, nice work. Let's get another track on. The brilliant Andy Onion, another former Legend of the Week, suggested many tracks that link to Star Wars very tenuously. And I'm now going to play Road to Nowhere by Tarkin Heads. That is tenuous. Good work, Moff Tarkin. Andy Onion.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been. And we know what we're knowing, but we can't say what we've seen. And we're not little children, and we know what we want. Give us time.
Phoenix FM.
Talking Heads and Road to Nowhere, suggested by Andy Onion because of Tarkin Heads, Grand Moff Tarkin, who featured in Star Wars Fabulous. You want some more wacky Star Wars facts? Yes, I'll do that. We'll do another track and then we'll discuss all things Chocolate Bar World Cup for a few minutes. Anyway, what else can I tell you about Star Wars that you may not know already? Apparently, Jabba the Hutt was not originally conceived as a grimy, slug-like creature, but as something furry and fuzzy. So, yeah, I think it was a lot more horrible, what they ended up with. Can you imagine if he'd just been furry? It might have been quite cute. You don't want that with Jabba the Hutt, do you? Also, George Lucas left the Directors Guild because of filming Star Wars A New Hope. He paid a fine and resigned from the Directors Guild rather than start Star Wars Episode 4 with a traditional credit sequence. It was apparently against accepted traditions and he resigned from the Directors Guild rather than conform. That's impressive. Harrison Ford almost wasn't Han Solo. Among the top contenders to play Han Solo originally were Burt Reynolds, Al Pacino, Jack Nicholson and Christopher Walken. I bet Harrison Ford is very glad it went to him. And we talked about darker endings for Return of the Jedi, with Luke Skywalker turning to the dark side being considered. And apparently Gary Kurtz, the original producer of Return of the Jedi, said in the early story outline, Han Solo dies and the rebel forces are left in tatters at the end of Return of the Jedi, with Luke disappearing into the wilderness. But George Lucas thought killing off any of the main characters would hurt merchandise sales, so he changed the ending to a fabulous Ewok party. There you go. I always enjoy that dancing Ewok party and sort of macabre image of them playing Stormtrooper helmets as musical instruments. Anyway, let's have more music. Let's have slightly chilled music that's still linked to Star Wars. It's the Lighthouse Family and Lost in Space.
Sometimes I get tired of this me first attitude. You are the one thing that keeps me smiling. That's why I'm always wishing hard for you. 'Cause your light shines so bright. I don't feel no solitude. You are my first star at night. I'd be lost in space without you. And I never lose my faith in you. How will I ever get to heaven? So fine when we touch the sky, me and you. This is my idea of heaven. Why can't it always be so good? But it's alright, I know you're out there doing what you gotta do. My soul satellite, I'd be lost in space without you. And I
Phoenix FM.
This is the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons, and that was The Lighthouse Family and Lost in Space. It's our Star Wars special. It's May the 4th. May the 4th be with you all. Oh, yes. But now, it's time to delve into everything that's been going on this week in the Chocolate Bar World Cup. Very, very exciting developments, because the poll finished for Group 6 earlier on today, and therefore the ones pitted against each other in Group 6 were the Turkish Delight, the Star Bar, the Flake, and the Milky Bar. And after all the votes were counted, Turkish Delight ended up with 11% of the vote, the Star Bar 33%, the Flake 11%, Milky Bar 45% of the vote. Marvellous. So, yeah, there we go. Milky Bar makes it through to the knockout stages. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, each week for the last few weeks, we've grouped together four chocolate bars and carried out a poll on Twitter where you have to vote for your favourite. And the winner goes through to the knockout stages of the Chocolate Bar World Cup. So that was Group 6. That means we've already had 24 chocolate bars try their luck, if you like, to get through to the knockout stages, which is going to be proven to be the nation's favourite. It's going to be tight, but the ones now that have qualified together with Milky Bar are Snickers, Mars Bar, Dairy Milk Caramel, Crunchy and Fries Chocolate Cream. So six are already through. Another group is beginning this evening. Therefore, what is Group 7 of the Chocolate Bar World Cup? Well, I knew you'd be excited. I will tell you. In Group 7, we have pitted against each other a Boost, a Dime Bar, a Twirl, and a Caramac. Oh yes, and in the very early running of voting, the Boost has 29% of the vote. The Dime Bar has zero votes. Incredible. The Twirl has 57% of the vote, and the Caramac has 14%. So it obviously could all change. That poll will be running right up until almost next week's show. So if you want to cast your vote, get yourself on Twitter. These polls, the Chocolate Bar World Cup, it's only happening on my Ben Simmons Radio Twitter page, at Ben Sim Radio on Twitter, if you want to cast your vote. It's only available there. It's not on Facebook. It's not on Insta. It's not on TikTok or anything like that. Twitter only. It's the place for polls on the show that goes like this. So the Boost, Dime Bar, Twirl and Caramac, Group 7 of the Chocolate Bar World Cup. Twirl looks like it's running away with it at the moment. Obviously, it could all change. Do get your votes in. Heartily recommended. Time for more music. Time for more Star Wars related music. Let's have a song that could be potentially filthy, but it's not. It's a clean version. Nicki Minaj, Starships.
Let's go to the beach, eat, let's go get a wave. They say what they gonna say. Have a drink, click, found a Bud Light. Bed like me, it's hard to come by. The Patron, oh, let's go get it down. The sound, oh, yes, I'm in the zone. Is it 2, 3, leave a good tip. I'ma blow all of my money and don't give a
I'm on the floor.
Starships, we're meant to fly. Hands up and touch the sky.
Phoenix FM.
That was Nicki Minaj and Starships then, and we're into the final. How has this happened? Final 20 minutes of tonight's show. Well, it's all happening. We've had another Bic lol with the brilliant Adam Jenkins doing his utmost to overcome the tension and rise up the league table. We've had all these tracks that link to Star Wars in some way or another, mainly thanks to the listening legends out there. We've dealt with celebrity birthdays in a different way and shared with you all the birthdays of some of the big players in terms of actors and actresses in the Star Wars movies. And we've had more info about the Chocolate Bar World Cup, combined with some interesting facts about the world of Star Wars. So, still to come in the next 20 minutes, we'll get some even more Star Wars facts, even more Star Wars tracks. And I'll keep you updated for any changes in the polls, etc. And if anyone gives me any more information, if anyone can find anybody in the world of Star Wars who was actually born on Star Wars Day, no one can better Alex Kafetzoglu's exhaustive research to discover that Rosario Dawson, who stars as Ahsoka Tano in The Mandalorian, was born on the 5th of May. Can anyone find anyone associated with Star Wars in some way or another who was born on the 4th of May? Before I go off the air, that is the challenge. It will involve some exhaustive research, no doubt. My dad has reminded me of a wonderful trip he took me on when he was performing in pantomime in Plymouth. Clearly Return of the Jedi must have come out, so it must have been the following year, I think. Maybe a couple of years later. I seem to remember 84. Return of the Jedi came out in 83, didn't it? But my dad took me to see the cinematic, well, what? How can it be described? Event, really, that was the Ewoks starring in Caravan of Courage. It was wonderful. It has, in subsequent years, been somewhat labelled as not that brilliant, but my dad and I shared that wonderful Star Wars moment and shared enjoying Caravan of Courage together. I haven't seen it since, and I probably won't again, to be honest, but, you know, it doesn't mean it wasn't a wonderful time. Oh, no. Right, let's get more music on to try and squeeze in as many of your tracks as we can before we go off the air. Here's one I always love listening to, and it loosely links to Star Wars because it's Space Cowboy. I suppose that reflects Han Solo in some ways, doesn't it? Jamiroquai once again.
We'll be right back.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Yes, it absolutely is. And this is the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons. Just to let you know, friend of the show, Ron Wilmot, has messaged in and said Alec Guinness's birthday is on the 2nd of May. I think you might be wrong, though, Ron, because I've looked it up and it says it's the 2nd of April. So maybe you're slightly mistaken, or maybe our research is at odds with each other and needs further looking into. Anyway, some more interesting Star Wars facts I can share with you. We still want to get in a couple more tracks before the final one, which is a big treat for everybody coming up. Apparently, R2-D2 was originally intended to speak English and was a bit more aggressive and a bit of a jerk. So instead of all the beeps and whistles that he's become familiar with, in the original draft of Star Wars, he spoke in complete English sentences and would often tell off C-3PO quite aggressively with insults like, "You're a mindless, useless philosopher," and "You're nothing more than a dim-witted, emotion-brained intellectual." Bit aggressive from R2-D2 there. It's probably for the best that we just hear, or whatever, all that business. A couple more Star Wars facts to share with you before I leave, but I want to get the tracks in that you've suggested. This was another one from Andy Onion earlier on the X Wings of Love. I enjoyed that. Jeffrey Osborne. Well done, Andy Onion.
Just smile for me and let the day begin. You are the sunshine that lights my heart within. And I'm sure that you're an angel in disguise. Come take my hand and together we will ride on the wings of love. The only way to fly is on the wings of love. On the wings of love, only the two of us together flying high. Flying high upon the wings of love. You look at me and I begin to melt, just like the snow when a ray of sun is felt. And I'm crazy about you, baby, can't you see? I'd be so delighted if you would come with me. On the wings of love, up and above the clouds, the only way to fly is on the wings of love. On the wings of love, only the two of us together flying high. Flying high upon the wings of love. Yes, you.
Phoenix FM.
Right, want to get in a couple of quick facts and another track before we sum it all up. Apparently, on the first day of shooting The Last Jedi, they filmed the scene where Carrie Fisher slaps Oscar Isaac, where Princess Leia hits Poe Dameron for his insurrection or whatever. And they had to film that 40 times to get it right. So she got to hit him 40 times on the first day of shooting for that film. Good job they must have met each other on The Force Awakens, otherwise it could have been slightly more awkward. And I love stuff like this. According to Matthew Wood, sound editor on The Rise of Skywalker, changes to the script came in so late that he had to travel to the home of Adam Driver, who played Kylo Ren in that trilogy, to record him delivering a few new and necessary lines in a rather low-tech place. I ended up opening one of his closets where he had all of his suits, and I pushed the suits out of the way and said, "Hang your head in here." Can you believe that? On a film that was released as recently as The Rise of Skywalker, a couple of years back, some of the sound editing was done in Adam Driver's closet. Marvellous. Right, let's have another one that was suggested by you lovely people. Eddie Bushell suggested another ABBA track, Lay All Your Love on Me. I'm not going to comment. Good work.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Had to bring ABBA to an abrupt stop there in order to be able to sum up the show and get on the glory of the final track I want to play for you all. Well, it's been a pleasure. It's been an utter favourite of mine. Yes, it's the 4th of May. It's Star Wars Day. To bring you a show dedicated to Star Wars has been brilliant. Lots of other wacky and worthy holidays as well occur today, but we've shied away from those to celebrate all things Star Wars musically in the first instance, thanks to many of your suggestions on social media. So huge thanks to Nick Ashton, Stuart Janes, Paul Milton, Mark Reed, Eddie Bushell, James Morton, Andy Onion, Phil Whelans, for getting involved, Ron Wilmot, Ellie from Beckles, and a special thanks to Adam Jenkins for being the 9th BicLol competitor and rising to the giddy heights of 4th on the table. If you missed any of the show, the podcast edition will be available from tomorrow on my blog page on the Phoenix FM website. Go to Phoenix FM, go to the schedule Tuesday evening, click on the show that goes like this, and you can find it. And thanks for supporting the show. Keep spreading the word. Now then, I've told you how much I like Star Wars. We all know the iconic Star Wars theme, but obviously in 1977, they didn't know how popular it was going to carry on to be. 70s, very good for the disco era. Imagine putting the Star Wars theme and disco music together. Well, that's what Mecco did. Probably wouldn't have been licensed these days, but I'm going to finish with it anyway. Rob's up next. See you all very soon. Here's Mecco's Star Wars funky theme.